Well, I am so excited today to bring the Word of God. Now, hopefully, none of you are too disappointed because today I have no object lessons. I have no videos. I have none of those object lessons or videos or magic tricks or anything. But what I do have is the Word of God. And what I do have is a parable of Jesus. And a parable of Jesus, he spoke in parables so that he could bring a story, a picture story, to highlight the truth of God. And the parable I want to share with you today is the parable of the sower. From Matthew chapter 13 and verses 3 to 9, Jesus said, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell along thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, this is one of those fortunate parables that we have. Not all the parables have this explanation that go with them. But this one does. Jesus explained this parable to his disciples and therefore to us as his disciples, followers of Christ. So, in Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23, Jesus gives us the explanation. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since the seed has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 60, 30, 100-fold. In Luke, in this parable, we hear that the seed refers to the word of God. So, what is the word of God? What is this seed and who are the sowers? Well, the word of God is the gospel. The gospel message of truth about God's salvation. Yeah. The Word of God is the Bible. Yeah. The living Word of God that is here written for us. The Word of God is prophecy that aligns with Scripture. Yeah. The Word of God is your testimony that brings glory to God. We heard it from Pastor Bevan a couple of weeks ago. You all have a story to tell. So who are the farmers? Was it Jesus' responsibility or God? Is he the only farmer? No. Who are the farmers? Who are the ones that are responsible for sowing seed? We are. We are. We are the farmers in this story. We are not called to be the soil in this story. We are not even called to be the seed in this story. Yeah. We are called to be the farmers, the one who scatter the seed. The disciples were told, go and preach the word. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I command you, and surely I will be with you till the ends of the age. This scripture remains true for you and I today. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. teaching them about the Word of God, teaching them the things of God, teaching them around those things. You imagine, just for a moment, if the Word of God consisted of Jesus loves you, he came, died on the cross for you, so that you could be made right with him, this book would be really small. Your salvation starts with having a relationship with God, but it doesn't end there. It's the beginning of your salvation. We have been given authority by Jesus to share the good news. We have seed to sow. You have seed to sow. Personalize that for a second. You have seed to sow. I have seed to sow. And we have power to sow that seed. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and the ends of the earth. God has put his Holy Spirit in you to provide you with the power to be able to be that farmer and sow that seed. He didn't say, I'll give you Holy Spirit so you can sit and wait at the rapture bus stop for Jesus to come again. He said, I give you power that you can go and spread the word of God, the truth about God, the truth for God in this city, in this nation, in this world, in this house. You have seed to sow. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. And this word is the good news that you have to preach to others. So now let's look at the farmer and the seed that he has to sow. Now Murray's a farmer, and he will tell you that when he has seed, he looks at the ground and he makes sure the ground conditions and the weather conditions are right for the kind of seed that he has to sow. Because he doesn't want to waste seed and stick it on the rock. He's not going to sow on the road because he knows it's not going to grow anything. Right? But the seed you have, you don't need to worry about whether you have enough seed or not enough seed. Your job is to just sow seed and let something else worry about what you're sowing it on. We have enough seed to continue to sow regardless of the ground that it's going on. It is not up to us to look at the ground and make a predetermined, prejudicial judgment about how that word is going to be received. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, then they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. When we speak in the power of Jesus. We don't get to determine whether we sow. Oh, I won't sow there because I think that ground might be hard. You know, a couple of weeks ago I was at work and someone said to me, what are you doing this weekend? I said, oh, I'll be preparing a sermon. And their response was, oh, Jesus. And I said, yes, it's about him. You see, there's a seed. There's a seed that's been sown. What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to church, I'm preaching. Ooh, okay. There's a seed that's sown. There's the word of God. I'm going to bring glory to my God on the weekend because I'm going to church and I'm praising his name and I'm bringing glory unto him. There's the word of God going out. It's not my choice to determine what hard soil type that's landing on. Is it hard soil or not? Doesn't matter. I'm sowing that word. Every opportunity I get to sow the word of God. And so do you. And so do you. We have seed in abundance. We don't need to hold it back for what we think is good soil. Now, he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. That is your resources. And increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. Often used around giving, saying, you know, when you give your money, you'll get enough. But it's not just about the money. It's about the word of God. You think about that. The word of God that's in you. It's limitless. It's limitless. I don't have only 10,000 words about God within me. I don't have a finite number of words about God within me. Every time I give out of the word of God, there's more to be able to give. It's the same with you. So now I want to look at the outcomes of the sowing of the seed. Soil type one. It was a path where the seed was snatched away. So why did it get snatched away? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 19, anyone hears this message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. These people, they didn't understand. The word here for understand is used 26 times in the New Testament. Four of these times around this parable in Matthew. And a further fifth time at the end of this chapter. Jesus is trying to teach us something here with this word about understanding. The word is suniemi, and its meaning is to understand, having the knowledge of those things which pertain to salvation. Understanding salvation. Not just I've been saved, but understanding salvation. When we understand salvation, the word of God that lands on us cannot be snatched away. The word of God that lands upon when we scatter seed on people that understand can't get snatched away. When we sow seed, let's be diligent and wise about how we sow that seed. You know, if I'd said to that person that responded, oh, Jesus, if I'd responded, you evil sinner, you are blaspheming, you are going to go to hell because you don't believe in that name you just swore with, I'm not going to win that person over to Christ. I need to be wise about the seed that I'm sowing. You know, a farmer's wise with the seed. There's different seeds for different seasons. There are different spaces. There are seeds that grow wheat. There are seeds that grow apple trees. There are seeds to be sown. We need to be wise and make sure the seed that we're sowing can be understood. But this seed is not just talking about the point of salvation, about coming to Christ. This is often talked about as, you know, those that hear the gospel, the seed snatched away and they didn't respond. Or those that have received the gospel, they fall away. or those that receive the gospel go on and create a harvest. But this is talking about the word of God. And the word of God is more than just that. The word of God could be a word that God spoke to you. Could be, I've called you to be a pastor. Yeah. Hang on. No, maybe not. The word of God could be, I've called you to be an evangelist. That sounds exciting. Maybe not. I'll step away from that. The word of God could be, I've called you to do this, and you go, I don't understand that, so therefore that's not for me, and you've lost the word of God. Keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the soil types. Rocky ground, soil type 2. The seed grew quickly, but since it had no root, they last only a short time. You see, when trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. When trouble or persecution comes, if we don't put our roots down deep into Christ, if we don't sink our roots deep into Him and His truth and His promises for our life, when opposition comes, we fall away. When someone comes and brings some sort of persecution against us, we can easily turn away. The same is true that we could see someone else who's starting to fall away. This is not a sermon for us and them. This is a sermon for both us and them. This relates to you and checking your heart. It also relates to the church and strengthening the church as a whole. So if we see someone who's coming and starting to fall away because of persecution, or it's us, what can we do? Sow seed. Sow seed. Sow the word of God. Sow scripture into people. Sow encouragement into people. Sow what is your testimony of the truth of God within your life to encourage someone else to go on with theirs. Romans 8, and we know all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Persecution works for the good of God. Called according to His purpose. Are you called?
Yes.
One. Are you called according to His purpose? Then everything works together for His good. Persecution works together for His good. Troubled times work together for His good. Good times work together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they faced persecution, they wouldn't allow themselves to be torn down. They knew and stood on the truth of God and the promises of Him and their relationship with Him to stand firm. And they said, even if our God doesn't come through the way we believe He will, we will not surrender to persecution. Even if we will not. See, their roots were down deep. Their roots, that persecution, forced their roots to dig deeper into God. They wouldn't allow those things to come. Psalm 119, may your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust your word. Have you ever seen rocky ground where there isn't much soil? Have you noticed how plants get a root hold in it? You know, as I work, I get to drive along the ocean road and there's cliff faces of rocks. And I see vegetation start to take root within that ground. See, as more and more seed is sown on that ground, more and more things start to spring up and take root on that ground. And what was looking like rocky ground now looks like fertile ground. because more and more seed is falling on that ground. So that's how to overcome the rocky ground. Get more and more seed on it. Soil type 3, weeds and thorns. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Our focus needs to remain on God at all times. Nothing should become greater importance than God. And no concerns should consume us or distract us from God and his goodness. Things like gossip, pride, self-indulgence, seeking self-glory. These are examples of things that can twist us away from God's truth and start to allow God's truth to choke away. It's what we allow in that will either cause the word to thrive or to allow other distractions to start to choke it out. It's not a suddenly. It's a little by little. So if you see someone little by little getting the word of God choked out of them, sow some seed. If you're having the word of God choked out of you, put yourself in a place where seed is being sown. Peter 5:7, throw all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside living waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are things that help us refocus. They help pull the weeds out. They help plant the word of God within us. You know, Christine, she does work in the environment. They go and pull weeds out and then they put things in. You put the good stuff in, and the more good stuff you put in, the less space there is for a weed to grow. The more good stuff you start to put in, the more word of God you get in you, the less space there is for the word of God, the more secure your root system will be. Coming to church is just one of those spaces where you allow that to happen. It's soil type 4. It's the good soil. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. It's that same word. It's understanding the salvation of God within you. It's what holds you. Have this hope as an anchor. The path with no understanding was snatched away, but the path with full understanding produces a crop. It's in this position where we don't allow anything to distract us, where we don't allow anything to shake our faith in who God is, that we produce a crop, sowing seed. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There are moments that I've been through where I didn't necessarily fully understand what God had, but he is so gracious. Years ago, I went to a children's leaders camp, and while it was good, I felt like God didn't speak to me. And on the way home, I said, God, well, was that just a waste of time? And he said, no, I've called you to be a pastor. And I was so excited. I got home late at night. I woke up Christine. I said, Christine, God's called me to be a pastor. She said, no, he hasn't. I'm not being a pastor's wife. But I knew he'd called me. And she said, well, if he's called you, you better go to Bible college. But I'm not being a pastor's wife. God's good. God is good. So I said, God, if I'm going to Bible college, the only way I can do that is if you give me Austudy. I had 2 weeks. I went in, I applied for Austudy. They said, yeah, no worries, you'll get that. All good. Resigned from work. Signed up for Bible college. Sent me a letter. No Austudy for you. Now, at that point, I had a choice to make. Where are my roots? Where's my trust? I said, God, this is the only way. He knew. He knew that I needed to receive that word, that I would get it. But he also knew that my testing of my faith was, my roots were deeper. So I went to Bible college. It's years of leaning in and following and trusting. And in moments where there's sickness and turmoil, God, I just dig into you. My roots, I can trust you. When it's a cancer scare, even if I die, Lord, I trust you. Because the roots are deep. And the word goes forth, and people come around and speak the word into me. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us a very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what they have been cleansed from their past sins. The word knowledge here is epignosis. It's a full discernment and understanding of things divine. You see, we could get saved on a feeling, but God needs us to understand who he is. We don't want to stop at just a feeling. we come and we sit in church so that people can teach us about God, so that we can understand his plan for us, so we can understand what he's going to do. And here's the thing with the seed that you sow. When you sow the seed of God into someone else's life, you sow it into yours as well. You know, when a farmer gets out there and he hand sows, he ends up with seed all over him. As you speak the word of God into someone else, you're hearing the same word of God for yourself. As you encourage someone with the verses of God, he is putting that same seed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you speak the word, you hear it, it's going into you too. As you encourage people, as you sow your seed, you're actually sowing into your own life as well. Maybe today you're in this place. This might be the first time you've heard about God's love for you. Maybe this is the first time that you've understood that God loves you. Maybe today you want to start your salvation journey by coming to Jesus and saying, I'm sorry, Jesus. We heard it in communion. He's forgiven all our sins. He made a pathway for us to be reconciled to him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So maybe that's you today, and you say, I want to make my life right with Jesus. Ask the church to bow their heads. And if that's you today, would you indicate to me with putting up your hand, just so that I can see it? And it's not about hands, but if you want to make your life right with God today in this place, then I give you this invitation to have the word of God start to spring up in your life. Is there anyone? Prayer, and if I'm going to ask the church to repeat this after me, and if you say this prayer in your heart, Jesus will come in. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the wrong I've done. Please forgive me. I accept you as Lord and Savior who died on a cross and rose again on the third day to forgive me and bring me life. You are my Lord Jesus from this moment on. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.